Father, we ask that you open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our spirits so that we may hear what it is that you would have us hear, Lord. Lord, we ask you to speak to us, for your servants are listening, Lord. And I ask personally that you allow me to decrease so that your word and your word alone will increase and go forth and not return void. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Our reading today comes from the 17th chapter of Exodus, and I'll be reading verses 8 through 15. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 15. And I won't tell you where that is in the Bible, because I trust that we all could find it. If not, we'll see you at Sunday school in the fall. I told Cameron to be ready for anything with me up here, so I think she's understanding what I was saying. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and placed it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly block out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." This has been the word of the Lord. Oh, come on, God. Have you ever had a moment where something was going on in your life that either took you by surprise or made you feel as if one more challenge came your way, you were going to go in the room and just scream from the top of your lungs? Have you ever felt under attack personally, or felt as if a loved one was under attack, or maybe both things were going on at the same time? Have you ever felt as if you couldn't get a break? If you have found yourself in any of these situations, then maybe, just maybe, you wanted to say to God, "Oh, come on, God." Because if the truth be told, there are times that you and I go through things in our lives that may bring us to that point. But let me tell you right here, that when we find ourselves in those seasons of our lives, we have to be prepared to go into battle. And that battle is not always physical, but at times it is spiritual and mental as well. What we have here in this 17th chapter of Exodus was the people of Israel coming to the realization that they were in a war, and that it was time for them to fight. And maybe some of us can relate to that, because we may be dealing with health issues or financial issues or relationship issues or addiction issues or children issues or parent issues. and so on and so forth. But know this, many times when we are dealing with issues, at the bottom of those issues, our faith is being attacked and the spiritual battle is being waged. And the worst thing that you and I can do is to tuck tail and run when it is our opportunity and our responsibility to call upon and to pull down the power of God from heaven to help us to overcome whatever it is that is going on here on earth. The text says that now Amalek came and fought with Israel. This lets us know that something was happening before this point. And I want to talk about that before we actually talk about what's happening now. If we look at the beginning of Exodus chapter 17, we will see where the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land. They were going in the direction in which God had told them to go. And they came to a place called Rephidim in order to camp. Now, camp means that they wanted to be revitalized. Or as we say here in the 21st century, they wanted to get their mojo back. Camping does not mean sitting around a campfire, singing campfire songs, and roasting marshmallows and s'mores. Camping meant that they were preparing to get revitalized for where it was that God was taking them next in their journey. The problem was that the place which they camped was a place that was void of water. They were unable to get water, refreshment. And as a result, the place where they came to be revitalized was the very place that was hurting them. Have any of you ever looked to be revitalized or re-energized or reinvigorated at some point in your life? Have you ever been in a place where you thought, if I could just get this one thing settled and maybe slow down a bit, or if I could get this one thing under control, everything would be okay? Maybe you thought, if I could just camp out for a moment, if I could just chill out, I could get revitalized and get ready for the place in which God was taking me next. But you found out that the direction where God was moving you may have been the very direction where you will have to fight your biggest battle in life. And what can mess you and I up is the expectation that we thought and believed that this was where God was leading us. And what can be equally frustrating is finding out that this was, in fact, the place where God was leading us. Have you ever been there? If we look at verses 1, 2, and 3 of the 17th chapter of Exodus, I invite you to read that chapter in your own devotional time this week. But the first three verses, we will see that it was actually God who told them to camp. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I am going through trials or find myself in a valley of life, my thought is, oh, come on, God, can I get a break? Especially when he is the one leading me to that place where I'm struggling. Jesus calls himself in John chapter 4, living water. So if I am following your command, Jesus, how can I still be thirsty at times? Why should we be dehydrated when we are following living water? Come on, God. The people camped where they told. They had no water. They were thirsty. They began to grumble and complain. And honestly, I can understand. God, you told them to camp. You told them that this would be a place where they could have the expectation of being revitalized for their journey. And when things went downhill, the people began to look at their leader. Gotta blame somebody. They got so annoyed with their circumstance that they began picking up rocks, according to the Bible. And they said to Moses, hey, Mo, we're going to have to do something about this. And in this situation that the children of Israel found themselves, there are some things that God wanted them to learn. And I want to share some of those lessons with you today, as it will help us when we find ourselves at our wits' end sometimes in our life's journey. One of the first things I want to speak into your hearing is that we have to learn in season and out of season how to trust God. What do I mean? In Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites were stuck in a hard place. They had the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them. In chapter 15, they did not have any water. In chapter 16, they were hungry. And here in chapter 17, again, they find themselves without water. It was one thing after another. They were in a bad spot. They were dehydrated. They were thirsty. They were frustrated. And it was God who told them to go there in the first place. Come on, God. Moses saw these folks tossing these rocks, and he knew that they were at their breaking point. They wanted to know if the Lord was with them or was he not with them. And Moses got word from the Lord to go up on Mount Horeb and take the staff of God with him. The staff of God represented the spiritual realm. It represented the power drawing down heaven to our experiences here on earth. And here's what God said to Moses. He told Moses to strike a rock. And when Moses does that, God tells him that water will come out of the rock, and the nation will no longer thirst. Have you ever been in a phase of your life where you were thirsty for something, where you needed something from God, be it healing, deliverance, inspiration, solution to a problem or a challenge, something, and it seemed as if no provision was coming from anywhere, especially from God? Sometimes we just have to wait longer on God. And that can be difficult if we are going through something and we don't know, and something that we know the Lord has called us to in the first place. The Israelites were like some Christians today. Not you and I, but other Christians that we know. Like the person sitting next to you, for instance. And just like the person sitting next to you, sometimes when they go through things, they can make the bad, poor choice to go back to their old ways, to go back to the ways in which they were doing things, because they didn't see anything coming from God in their time frame. What do we do nowadays when that happens? Or what do they do nowadays when that happens? They stop believing sometimes. They stop worshiping. They stop coming to church. They stop reading their Bibles. They stop reading their devotion. They stop praying. And maybe they even stop caring. We come here today. We look good. We smell good. But some of us can testify that we have been at that point at some times in our lives. The Israelites were so frustrated that they asked the question, wouldn't it just be better to go back to Egypt? They seriously questioned whether or not they should return to a life of bondage and slavery over continuing their journey to the promised land. And in our own history here, Harriet Tubman, as she was leading slaves out of the South to freedom under the night sky, she would encounter some people, some men moaning and grumbling about the journey. Why? Because they would hear the dogs barking, and they knew that the masters were coming looking for them. And old Harriet would hit these men upside the head with something and tell them that if they did not have the good sense to carry on, she would knock them out and carry their stupid behinds to freedom. True story. The Israelites asked, wouldn't it be better if we just go back to Egypt? And many today will ask, wouldn't it be better if I just give up on Jesus? If I just give up on God? If I just give up on the promises of God? Because I don't see anything happening in my situation. In chapter 14, they were between a rock and a hard place. But lo and behold, the sea opened to them. Chapter 15, they were thirsty, and they received water. Chapter 16, they were hungry, and manna came down from the sky. And here they are in chapter 17, without water again. And my question is, what the heck are they complaining about? Because sometimes our current situation, if we focus on it, we can't forget about how great and how merciful and how good God has been to us in the past. The water was coming out after Moses struck the rock. And the people looked up right when they were about ready to give up. And right then, the provision of water came to them. And they were able to fight and they were able to win their battle. Right when the provision came. Come on, God, they couldn't catch a break. And if the truth be told, there are times in our lives when you and I go through things we can feel as these Israelites felt. Come on, God, it's not only one thing after another, but it's one thing after another in Rephidim. It's the same location. It's the same situation. It's the same thing over and over again that I'm challenging. It may be the same person that you are being challenged with. It may be the same sickness that you are dealing with. It may be the same family strife or dysfunction that you are having to deal with over and over again. And you may have thought to yourself, God, I'm praying. God, I'm trying. I'm reading your word. I'm trying to be obedient to your will. I'm trying to live right and live according to your word. I'm trying to love my neighbors, even those that I don't really like. The people of Israel found themselves not on the mountaintop, but rather in the valley. But let's not forget God's grace. One thing that I tell people at Kaya is that when they read the Bible and read stories of God's people struggling to look for the hope that comes out of hopelessness, to look for the grace in that situation. So where's God's grace in this story? It is here in the fact that God provided water before Amalek shows up. God has a way of making provisions for us so that we are ready to handle things when they need to be handled. For if we forget what God has given us or what he has provided for us to deal with our situations, then we set ourselves up to be complainers and not survivors. Another lesson, God prepares us for his promises. He doesn't just give us promises, but he prepares us to receive those promises. Sometimes the road to his promises can get dark, but if we keep walking, we can experience what it is that we are promised. Years ago, when our kids were young, I thought about, but never got around to it, installing motion detector lighting in our house. And the reason for this was because our kids were a great example of the fact that people who live in your house, who don't pay the electric bills, don't always turn off the lights when they leave a room. Maybe it was just in my house, I don't know. And I was trying to find ways to save on our electric bill. And y'all know how the motion detector lights work. You walk into a room, and when the sensor detects motion, the light is powered, and the light comes on. When there's no movement in the room, the power to the light in that room goes off. So the experience of the power is contingent upon the experience of the movement. If there's no movement on the ground, there's no power coming from the air. The power is still there, but there's nothing on the ground summoning it. When you and I have the opportunity to move, to activate, to call upon the power of God, that power will be activated because the power will respond to our movement. And sometimes there's a battle that has to be fought before the victory can be realized, even though the victory, we are told, is already won. Sometimes we may have to go through the battle to see and appreciate the victory on the other end. And that battle may not be physical. It may be mental and spiritual as well. So Moses says to Joshua, you go down and I'll go up. In other words, you go down and take care of the responsibility, because we just can't sit here and ignore the battle, which was in front of them. But Moses wasn't going to send Joshua down into battle without him going up to grab the spiritual perspective. How do we grab that spiritual perspective today? Through prayer, through reading of God's word, through Bible study, and through small group and action. We have responsibilities that we have to take care of in life. But at the same time, we need to have a strong grasp and confidence in our Heavenly Father, even as we are understanding that we have to walk in our circumstance. When Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the mountain, and Moses carried the staff of God in his hand, he knew that he needed God's help. He knew that he couldn't depend on Aaron and Hur alone. And for some reason, for some of us, we love to try to handle things ourselves, but we all know that pride comes before the fall. The truth is that we all need to be encouraged at times. You need it, and Lord knows I need it. We all need to be around people who use the same playbook as we do. In that case, in this case, it's the Word of God. We all need someone who can hold us up and who can give us truth. We've all read the scripture, iron sharpens iron, and yet believers sometimes try to stand alone. In the middle of this battle, the Bible says that Moses' arms got heavy and began to hurt. And verse 12 says that Aaron and Hur took a stone, placed it under him, and had him sit on it. When we get to the point when we want to say, come on, God, when we get tired, when we get weary, when we get discouraged, when we get frustrated, that's when we had to put our faith on the rock and our hope on the rock. And that rock is the Word of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to have the expectation and the understanding that even when we fall apart, the rock will not. Another lesson, God is trying to teach us to return to the rock. We all need to make sure that we have people around us who would take us to the rock when we need to get there, when we get tired. Moses' hands became heavy, and he sat on the rock, and they held up his hands, Aaron on one side, Hur on the other side. And because of them holding Moses' hands, it was steady. You know what happened? Joshua was able to overwhelm the enemy with the edge of his sword. And what is our sword, according to Ephesians chapter 6, I believe? Our sword is the Word of God. They took the spiritual perspective from up there and slayed the enemy, slayed their challenge, slayed the situation they were in down here. So why is the Word of God so important in our lives? Because it's pretty much the only offensive weapon that we have. Without it, we're just trying to live on defense, trying to block what comes our way. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Because we have a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, to sit on, we can have the expectation that even though we have battles, God is preparing a great promise for us, and he hears us. Last thing I want to share. Share the word of God with those who are in a battle. Verse 14 says in part, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it into the hearing of Joshua." When others are in battle, they need the word of God as much as we do, maybe more. So this afternoon, I want to know if you have your victory flags ready for your next situation or for your next challenge that may come along in your life. Do you have your Jehovah Nissi flag ready? That's the name given to Moses by Moses to the altar which he built to celebrate the defeat at Rephidim. Do you have your Jehovah Rapha flag? That's the flag that proclaims that God is a healer. Do you have your Jehovah Jireh flag? That's the flag that says that God will provide. Do we have our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords flag? Are we battle ready for this life, for things that come our way? And the good news is that your battles are already won. We just have to go through the process. Jesus already declared that victory for us. The battles are won. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for this word, for your word. That reminds us that sometimes in life we have to struggle. Sometimes we have to deal with situations, but we aren't the first in the history of people to have to deal with situations. And when we deal with these situations, these aren't the first times that we ever had to deal with anything, Lord. But Lord, thank you for the reminder that when we go through those situations, when we are in the valleys of our lives, that you are still reigning. You are still on the mountaintop. You are still walking with us. You are still there in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our situations. Lord, for that we give you praise. In his name we pray, amen.